It's 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia. I'm Sarah, and on the line today with us, we have Bron Daler of Mastodon. Thanks so much for taking the time, Bron.
Thanks for having me.
We wanted to chat because Mastodon is playing at the Electric Factory next week, Thursday, May 5th, and this is a one-off show. This is, from what I could find, the only U.S. date for the foreseeable future for Mastodon, and the band's relationship with Philly seems to be a really passionate one, because you guys are based in Atlanta, but your shows here are always so intense. So what is it about Philly that resonates with the band?
Well, they filmed Rocky there, so that's pretty much, that's the main, you know, for us. You know, it's one of our favorite movies as a band, so whenever we go there, you know, you run up the steps, you go to the Italian market, you know, you get energized. In all honesty, you know, we started out, we were in our van playing basements and things. We played at the Robot House somewhere in Philadelphia, and that's where we got signed to Relapse Records. And Relapse Records was based outside of Philadelphia. And so we played there often when we first started. And then we, you know, our longtime artist, Paul Romano, is from there. So we always kind of looked forward to playing in Philadelphia. A lot of friends, a lot of, you know, really tight bros there.
That's really cool. So, it sounds like it's kind of a second home for you guys.
It is, yeah. Philadelphia, one of my favorite cities.
The last time you were in Philly was about 2 years ago, also at the Factory. And at that point, Once More Around the Sun, your latest record, wasn't out yet. But now that fans have had time to sort of absorb that record, what has the feedback been like?
I think it's been, you know, it's been mostly good. Just a couple people said they didn't like it. But a majority of people, I think, dug it, you know. It's been a while. That record came out a while ago. We're so like knee deep in all the brand new stuff that I'm not thinking too much about that record. But I've been playing along to a bunch of the songs, you know, the crop of songs that we're going to be playing on Thursday. So it's nice to dig back into it after having a break from it for a little while.
Nice. You mentioned that you're writing, recording again. Where are you guys on that?
You know, at the moment, it's just a ton of riffs. And they're kind of starting to form songs now, so we kind of have, and we have some stuff that didn't make the last record, and not because it wasn't awesome, but it just didn't fit the vibe of the stuff we had more of. So, and we were going to do this winter EP thing, but that material has kind of morphed into more than just that. So, I think it'll warrant a full album release. So we have that stuff, and then we have a whole new crop of songs. I don't know. We have a lot of material, so we got to whittle it down at the moment. And we're still just kind of experimenting. And we go over to Bill's basement and sit down there and riff out and, you know, throw everything up against the wall and see what sticks.
Can we expect any of that new material to maybe make its debut at the Factory next week?
No, I doubt it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not. It's just not even, you know, they're songs and they're riffs that belong together, but we, you know, we write the music first, and then we kind of come in afterwards and figure out where we can shoehorn vocals.
Okay. Do you have any collaborations planned for this next record, or anyone that you'd like to feature on the album who you haven't had a chance to work with yet?
Well, I don't know. You know, it just all has to be sort of an organic thing, you know, has to come up naturally. You know, you write a part, and you kind of feel like maybe so-and-so's voice would be suited to maybe sing that part. But we always like doing that, you know, and it's always usually a surprise when we do it, except for Scott Kelly, who we, you know, we don't put any pressure on him to be on the album.
But it's pretty much a given, right?
I mean, you know, not I wouldn't say it's a given, but...
I'm kidding.
If he's feeling it, you know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
But we know, I always preface it with, you know, no pressure. No pressure, Scott. No pressure. But seriously, lots of pressure.
The Dillinger Escape Plan is on the bill with you for that Factory show next week. Why don't you tell us about
never
your history with
them?
No, never? Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. I would have heard of a band like that. I mean, I've heard of John Dillinger's, and I know that he had a really great escape plan. That was a plan of his that he worked out on scratch paper with a pencil, but I don't know about any...
Didn't know it was a band.
...based on his plan. I mean, no, I'm just kidding. Hey, I'm just kidding with you. Obviously, I've known those guys forever. Tight bros from way back.
Right.
They say.
Yes.
We've been very good friends and toured a lot together. And even my old band played with the Dillinger Escape Plan. Today's the day.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I've known Ben and company for many, many years. And pretty awesome. So we get to play together again. Yay, high five.
Yeah, I always love seeing both of you guys live. So the fact that you're on the show together is really, really awesome. The show is presented by Champion Brewing, Surly Brewing, and BSG Craft Brewing for the Craft Brewers Conference that's happening in Philly next week. And I heard, and maybe you can confirm or deny this, but I heard that some of those brewers are making a Mastodon beer exclusively for this show. So what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, there's a beer that's being brewed exclusively for the show. You said it all.
I tried to dig up some more info, so I guess it's just going to be a surprise for all of us.
It's going to be a surprise. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure if it's supposed to be a surprise or not. I'm not sure, but I guess I could spill the beans on it. But it's called Where Strides the Bromeliad, and, you know, we have a song called Where Strides the Behemoth, and so this is called Where Strides the Bromeliad, and it's a Belgian golden ale with pineapple. So pineapple, bromeliad, Where Strides the Bromeliad. See?
Sounds tasty.
For you horticulturists out there, a pineapple is a bromeliad, so there you go.
Now it makes a little more sense to me. So I was scrolling through your Instagram, and I have a couple of questions. First of all, what's up with this clown room? Is that in your house? It's just this room that's full of, like, clown pictures and furniture and knickknacks and things. What's up with that?
I like clowns, and I'm also a fan of themed rooms. So I have a clown room, and I make people sleep in it when they want to sleep over.
That's awful. Why would you do that?
They come over here, and they get really shit-faced, and they knock something over. You're going in the clown room. Sorry.
Oh, so that's like the punishment.
Good luck tomorrow when you wake up.
Well, never come into your house.
So I really like clowns.
I heard that you also collect velvet paintings.
Yeah, I have a lot. I have an extensive velvet painting collection. I love velvet paintings. See, I love art, and I want to collect art, but I can't afford it. So this is a medium that I can afford.
I see. Okay. You know, what's your favorite piece in this velvet collection?
What's my favorite piece?
Yeah.
It goes back and forth. You know, I mean, I have a bunch that I really like, and I just got a couple of Bowies, and let's see, I got JonBenet Ramsey. She kind of makes people uncomfortable, so I like that, because I like to make people uncomfortable.
As evidenced by the clown room.
My John Travolta is awesome. I have a Donald Trump Mexican clown in the clown room. That one's good. Michael Jackson. Let's see, I got Lionel Richie. I got Dr. Zaius. I got the Machu Picchu, a tiger, a couple unicorns, E.T., Hulk Hogan, Stevie Wonder, Peter Criss, Elvis Presley, the Pink Panther, a flea stack. You know, the list goes on and on.
You weren't kidding when you said that was extensive. Good golly.
Yeah, I mean, I really like those. Ever since I was a kid, you know, I remember going over to this girl I was hanging out with that was much older than me. I was probably 8 or 9, and she was about 14. And I used to go over to her house, and her dad painted velvet paintings and taught karate, but he was a super badass.
And, so you just aspire to be like him?
He would teach karate, and then you'd go in this room, and it was all these velvet paintings of naked ladies. And so,
wow.
It was so 70s, 80s.
So it started young.
That's right. So, yeah, so I always like the color combination. I like the subject matter, and I like how the color pops on that black. It just looks cool to me.
Very cool. Very cool. We're speaking with Ron Daler of Mastodon. Recently, you spent a week on Late Night with Seth Meyers as a part of the house band. How did that come about? Was that your idea?
They have, you know, so on Seth Meyers, I don't know if you know this, but Fred Armisen is their drummer from Portlandia. But he's always busy doing Portlandia stuff, and he's just a busy guy, and he's got a lot of projects going on. So in his stead, they get guest drummers to come in and fill in. So, you know, they've had Chad Smith and John Theodore and all sorts of guys. So I got asked to be there, and that was really fun, really cool. I had a great time.
Awesome.
I really want to go back and do it again. It was definitely different, you know. It's a totally different type of thing. I mean, and we've played on television before. You know, we've done the Letterman show and some late-night TV like that, but it's totally different. You write the songs, you know, during the day, and then you play them that night. And the first show is the most intense one because, you know, you got to pay attention.
Yeah, you got to be on point.
You cues, start the song, end the song. You got to end, you know, ladies and gentlemen, Bernie Sanders. He comes out, shakes hands, and when he sits down, you want to give him like 1 second to collect himself, and then you want to stop.
But only 1 second, right?
Yeah, so you got, but you want to end on the one, and you know, people, they might not sit, they sit down kind of in the middle of the measure, in the middle of the bar, so you got to end it. It's a little bit tricky, but by the end of it, I was having a lot of fun. And
it sounds like a cool challenge.
It was cool, and it's good for moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, because grandmas and grandpas don't always make it down to the big rock show. So
right.
It's nice for them to.
They won't be at Heavy Montreal. No.
Be in their bed and going to sleep, and I'm on the old boob tube, you know, tucking them in with drum beats.
Aw, that's so cute. As I'm sure you're aware, metal fans and hard rock fans are kind of a fickle bunch. And I say that as in they want, you know, bigger and better albums every time from all the bands they love, but then they get upset sometimes if it's too much of a departure or, God forbid, too accessible. So I know Mastodon has experienced a bit of this over the years. So how do you balance fan expectations with growing and developing as musicians?
Well, you really have to just ignore it. And that's impossible. You know, I'm always going to get on there and read the comments section, unfortunately. That's like my least favorite thing about my personality, you know, is I'll get on there and look and then get my feelings hurt because, you know, people don't like this thing I made. They think they're having a private conversation with each other, but I'm reading it and I'm like, oh man, they don't like it. Oh man, which is totally lame. And why would I care? You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
But when it comes to writing, it's really almost impossible to, you know, if we sort of like something and you naturally just like it, you just gravitate towards it and you start playing it, and it sort of takes on a life of its own almost, you know. And I don't like to shut anything down, you know. If we're playing it and we dig it, then there must be a reason why, you know what I mean? And if it's a natural thing and we all love it, then we have to explore it, you know.
Right.
What I mean? And I wouldn't want to sing the chorus to the Motherlode or something and be like, no, we need to change it because it's too catchy or it's too it's too commercial sounding. And no, that's the chorus. I can't think of anything else to put there.
Yeah.
Anything else that I try to put there is going to be lame, you know what I mean? Because it doesn't mean anything, you know. And it's just trying to, you know, you don't want to get on that old Panda Express for the fans either, because, you know, if we're trying to appease a certain cross section of fans, say the Remission people, where they're like, we want another Remission, we want some of the heaviest, fastest, craziest Mastodon stuff that you can throw at us, and we didn't organically and naturally want to do that, but we did it because we thought that that's what they wanted, then they're not going to get what they want, and we're not going to get what we want, so it's just going to be us chasing our tail and them kind of being like, yeah, nice try.
Yeah, it'll end up sounding
forced. It's not a genuine thing. So if you genuinely love something, and like we do, like our last record or the record before it, we love everything about it.
Right.
Then that's the only thing that we can really control, which is hard enough, you know, to please all four members in the band. That can be incredibly difficult and takes a long time to get to that point. If you start going around to each, the Crack the Sky people and the Blood Mountain people,
mm-hmm.
and say, well, what do you want to hear? I'll do whatever you want. You know.
Yeah, you can't please everybody.
I'll put more paradiddles in. I'm sorry. I just want to be loved.
Well, speaking of,
I'm up on stage.
Well, speaking of the four of you, I wanted to bring up Mastodon's lineup has not changed in 16 years. It's always been the four of you, Troy, Brent, Bill, and then you, Bron. And it seems like you all get along.
That's been a mistake. That's been a mistake. I'll say it right now.
Has it?
It's been too long. The magic is gone. I'm just kidding.
Well, really, that usually happens. Well, not usually, but a lot of the time it happens with bands that, you know, after 10 years it starts to fizzle out. You know, touring can be such a volatile environment, or there's disagreements over writing. So I guess what I want to ask is, what is the secret to a happy marriage?
Communication is key. Our passive aggression, I think, is key. And no, I'm just kidding. Knowing when to go to bed, that's a big one. Knowing when to fold them and go to your bunk. When someone starts to turn into a werewolf, you're like, all right, bye. Don't stay up and talk to that werewolf. Go to bed. No, we're good. We at the end of the day, we don't really argue that much, you know what I mean? Especially on tour, we don't ever get in, like, tiffs or arguments with each other. We give each other space, you know? You need, people need space.
Well, good. That's good to hear.
The party animal that was Mastodon has calmed way down over the past 10 years. And, like, when we first started, it was like, Jesus, Motley Crue 82. It was brutal.
Good times.
Tours, it was like our band broke up, like, every night. And in the morning, we'd be like, sorry.
Oh, hug it out.
Yeah, hug it out. So, I don't know, but I really like the fact that it's the same four guys, and I would like to keep that for as long as possible, because we can look at each other and know that each person has been there through all of it. You know, we slept on cat piss infested floors for years together, so if you brought someone else in, it would just be so bizarre. You know, I couldn't even imagine it, but
yeah.
I mean, it might happen. You never know. I'm not going to say never say never, you know.
All right, gotcha.
There could be somebody that, you know, I don't want to keep anybody in the band against their will, and I don't want anybody to be in the band that doesn't want to be,
mm-hmm.
you know. But for the time being, I really love being in Mastodon. It's like one of my favorite things, and I love the music that we make together, and I love the guys in the band, and I hope that we can continue into our senior years.
Awesome. That's good to hear. I have just one more question for you. You did this AMA on Reddit a few months ago, and I wanted to bring this up because I really love what you said. You said, I don't necessarily put music into genres. I get the same feeling from Slayer that I get from Stevie Wonder. And that resonated with me because I tell people all the time, you can like whatever you want. And I feel sad for the people who think that they can't like X because they're into Y. And that seems to happen with you know, heavy music fans a lot. But I really love that you sort of brought that up. So I was wondering if you could expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. You like what you like. I just tend to, I mean, you know, we need genres to be able to explain this or that. But really, you're sort of looking for an evocative or some kind of reaction to a sound that makes you feel a certain way, you know, whether it's happy or you want to wallow in some kind of sadness that you're in, that music is out there, and it doesn't have anything to do with genre. It's notes, and it's performance, and it's, you know, so I really honestly get the same feeling from, you know, Beethoven that I get from Slayer or Metallica or any of those bands. I mean, it's heavy music. You know, I put on Blonde Redhead, I'll get the same feeling. You know, it's the feeling is universal, and it's what kind of ties everyone together. It's like, you know, you're feeling that, you know,
yeah,
so
I agree.
If you feel it for a song, if you're getting them feels.
I feel you. I feel you, man.
You shouldn't be embarrassed by it. I'm definitely too old to be embarrassed by any song that I might like, or, you know, I could see it as a teenager. And if you're a teenager, I understand it because, you know, I mean, I identified with the metalheads. I was like a metalhead, you know, you find your tribe when you're in high school, you know what I mean? You find it was a bunch of long-haired dudes with back patches and girls with giant mall hair, you know? So that was us, you know? And I was like, yeah, we got our tribe, our group, you know? And
yeah.
So I get it for that, you know? But even early on when I was a kid, I liked everything, you know? My parents were real musical. I have a musical family. So it was just lots of music. And, you know, I don't think you probably don't meet too many people that are like digging into their parents' record collection, like, oh man, but maybe these days you probably do, because 60s and 70s, that's those parents, 60s, 70s, 80s, and a lot of the parents that were from that generation were more into crazy music. And but I was lucky enough to have some cool parents that were into prog rock and jazz and funk and hard rock, heavy metal, all that stuff, everything, all the time. And then my grandfather, My grandmother was in a jazz group, and my grandfather was in like a honky-tonk kind of country group. So the full spectrum.
You covered all the bases there, I think.
Okay, good. That's good.
Yeah. Well, Ron, I know you got to go. Thanks so much for talking with us today, and we'll see you at the Electric Factory on May 5th. Some tickets still remain at electricfactory.info.
All right.
Thanks so much, Brown.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.